Let's move into the security segment, because there are three distinct stories today that together paint a picture of where consumer and enterprise security is struggling in 2026. Start with LG monitors. The story is that LG has been using Windows Update, Microsoft's own patching infrastructure, to silently push software onto user machines without notification or consent. We're not talking about a firmware update for the monitor itself. We're talking about additional LG software being installed on the Windows host machine, leveraging the trust relationship that users have with Windows Update.
And the trust relationship angle is what makes this particularly problematic from a policy standpoint. Windows Update has a specific implicit contract with users. It delivers security patches and system updates from Microsoft and verified hardware partners. When a hardware vendor uses that channel to push ancillary software, potentially analytics tools, upsell prompts, or telemetry, they're exploiting that trust relationship without the user's knowledge. This isn't just an annoyance. It's a pattern that, if normalized, fundamentally undermines one of the core mechanisms people rely on for system security.
The technical mechanics here are worth explaining. Microsoft allows hardware vendors to publish driver packages through Windows Update as part of the Windows Hardware Quality Labs program, often called WHQL. These packages are supposed to be limited to device drivers, software that enables the hardware to function. But the boundaries of what counts as necessary software for a monitor are apparently interpreted generously enough that LG was able to include additional components. The HN community has been asking whether Microsoft's certification process for these packages actually inspects the payload in detail, or whether it's primarily a code signing check.
This connects to a broader pattern we've seen with OEM software. The practice of shipping additional applications bundled with hardware has a long and mostly inglorious history. What's new here is the delivery channel. Traditional bloatware shipped on a device at purchase time. Using Windows Update as the delivery mechanism post-purchase is a different kind of intrusion, because users who carefully managed their initial software environment can find it changed under them later.
Now let's talk about TP-Link Casa cameras, because this story is significantly more serious from a privacy standpoint. Security researcher Bad Chemical published findings that the Casa EC71 camera model, and potentially a wider product family, was leaking precise GPS coordinates via an unauthenticated UDP port. This wasn't behind any authentication wall. Any device on the same network, or in some configurations accessible from outside the network, could query this port and receive the exact geographic location that the camera owner had entered into the Casa app during setup.
The 6 years framing in the headline is what catches your eye. This wasn't discovered immediately after product launch. The vulnerability sat in deployed devices for roughly 6 years before being publicly documented. That's 6 years of home locations, not approximate city-level location, but GPS coordinate-level precision, available to anyone who knew to look. The implications extend beyond individual privacy. For domestic abuse survivors, people in witness protection adjacent situations, or anyone whose physical location is sensitive information, a camera they bought for security was actively undermining their security in a way they had no way to detect.
The technical mechanism is unfortunately simple. IoT devices often implement discovery protocols over UDP. These are designed to let the mobile app find the camera on the local network without requiring the user to know IP addresses. The problem is that when these discovery protocols are implemented without authentication, and when they include metadata like GPS location in their responses, you get exactly this kind of unintended disclosure. The fix is straightforward in principle. Either authenticate the discovery protocol or strip sensitive metadata from the response. But the legacy of already deployed devices is a real problem. TP-Link has to push a firmware update, and a significant fraction of IoT device owners never update firmware.
Which brings us naturally to the third security story today, InToto. This is a framework for securing the integrity of software supply chains, and it's gaining attention on HN because it addresses the structural problem that underlies both the LG and TP-Link stories at a deeper level. The question InToto is trying to answer is, how do you cryptographically verify that the software you're installing is exactly what the legitimate developers produced, and that it wasn't tampered with at any point in the build and delivery pipeline.
InToto works by having each step in the software supply chain produce a signed attestation, essentially a cryptographic receipt that says, this specific input produced this specific output, and I, the authorized party, vouch for it. When you chain these attestations together from source code all the way to the final package, you get a verifiable record of the entire supply chain. If any step was tampered with, if a build server was compromised, if a package was modified in transit, the chain of attestations breaks and you can detect it. It's a formalization of the trust but verify principle that software distribution has mostly handled informally until now.
The adoption question is interesting. InToto has been around for several years as a CNCF project, but its presence on HN today suggests renewed interest, possibly because the software supply chain attack surface has become so visible after incidents like SolarWinds in 2020 and the XZ-Utils compromise in 2024. Organizations are increasingly asking not just, is this package signed, but can I verify the entire path from commit to deployment? InToto is one of the more rigorous answers to that question.
And this is where I'd place the curriculum corner, because the LG Windows update story actually touches on antitrust law in an indirect but meaningful way. When a dominant platform like Windows controls a critical distribution channel, the software update mechanism and third parties can abuse that channel, it raises questions about platform accountability that antitrust regulators have started examining more carefully.
Walk us through the basics, Sarah, because antitrust law is something a lot of technical people encounter in headlines, but may not have dug into mechanically.
Sure. Antitrust law in the United States is primarily governed by the Sherman Act, passed in 1890. Section 1 of the Sherman Act prohibits agreements or combinations in restraint of trade, essentially companies conspiring to reduce competition. Section 2 prohibits monopolization, the act of acquiring or maintaining a monopoly through anti-competitive conduct. The key thing people get wrong is that having a monopoly isn't inherently illegal. Microsoft has a dominant position in PC operating systems. That alone doesn't violate the Sherman Act. What matters legally is how you acquired or maintained that dominance. Did you get there by building a better product, or did you use anti-competitive practices to exclude competitors? The famous Microsoft antitrust case in the late 1990s wasn't about Windows existing. It was about Microsoft tying Internet Explorer to the OS in ways designed to prevent Netscape from competing on merit. Market share is evidence of potential monopoly power. But courts look at what economists call the relevant market, the actual space where competition occurs, and whether the company's conduct harmed competition in that market, not just harmed individual competitors. A company with 90% market share that got there by continuously improving its product hasn't violated antitrust law. A company with 60% market share that uses contractual bundling to foreclose competitors might have!
And the relevance to the LG story is that if Microsoft's Windows Update policies give some hardware vendors preferential access to push software while others can't, that could potentially attract regulatory scrutiny about whether Microsoft is using its platform control in ways that advantage or disadvantage specific partners.
Exactly. It's a thread regulators in the EU especially have been pulling on as they look at how dominant platforms govern their own distribution channels.